and welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns, and we welcome you guys back to this first edition of the 2019 GGR Radio. Luke, it's been a minute. It's been probably a month, but you know what? We figured there's been some stuff to talk about. Why not record a podcast?
I mean, there's always stuff to talk about, you know, especially with National Signing Day coming. But, you know, the semester ends, and that's amazing. But, Ryan, but really, what's the reason we're actually getting together to talk about this podcast?
Well, the actual reason is I wanted to plug Gopher Illustrated, what we have going on here tomorrow. As much as I love you Gopher Gridiron Radio listeners, you don't actually pay my bills. I know, hard to believe. What does is Gopher Illustrated. And why we're deciding today to do this is hopefully by the time you listen to this, we on Tuesday, we are going to be doing for a very short amount of time, in 8 months free if you sign up. If you become a new monthly subscriber, you get 8 months free. This is literally the best deal I've ever been a part of any of these subscription websites. So starting at 9 a.m. Central Time on Tuesday, check out my Twitter machine. You'll see it all over GopherIllustrated.com as well. We're going to be doing, if you get, essentially, Luke, it's 9 months for the price of one. We're going to have a deal that also goes to Friday as well, but there isn't going to be a deal like 8 free months. Literally, you get all my spring practice reports. You get everything that's going on in the off season. You get my fall camp reports. You get all that stuff, plus everything that's going on in recruiting, both basketball side of things with Ryan James, football side of things with me. I mean, Minnesota did just sign the back-to-back best recruiting class in the last 20 years. If any of this stuff over the years, considering how many years have we been doing this now? Three or four?
Yeah, three maybe. I don't know.
So I encourage you to head on over to Gopher Illustrated tomorrow, Tuesday, in the morning time. Hopefully you're listening to this on your way to work. It's going to kick off around 9 a.m. But Luke, that's enough of me plugging that kind of stuff. We do have some things to talk about.
Well, you know, I think one thing we probably should clarify is because some people don't listen to these for a long time. If you're listening to this and you're like, wow, sweet, it's Monday. Tuesday's tomorrow. I'm going to get in on this. Make sure that your calendar says January 22nd on Tuesday. That's going to be a pretty important factor into signing up for this deal. So just wanted to make sure that people are aware of that. But yeah, we should talk some Gopher football stuff. You know, it seems almost like forever ago that we were talking about, you know, a bowl victory against Georgia Tech. And here we are. And quite frankly, Ryan, a lot has changed. I know we talked some recruiting, and they've signed, you know, a very good class. But, you know, with that, with, you know, the semester ending and, you know, the end of the bowl season comes, you know, coaching turnover, right? And right now, the Gophers have been in the middle of quite a bit of coaching turnover.
From who has stayed to who is leaving. I mean, you look at where Minnesota's coaching staff was to begin the 2018 season to where it is now. Looks a little bit different, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I know that's one of the things Luke and I were talking about in the pre-production meeting was a little bit different defensively, Luke. You were astute enough to point that out.
Yeah, I mean, like literally, if we go back to PJ Fleck's first year, he's literally turned over his entire defensive staff with maybe the lone exception being the special teams coach who's going to probably do some who seemingly has sorry, that's Rob Wagner. He's now I'm looking at their site. He's going to do some outside linebacker stuff. But outside of that, everybody's turned over.
Yeah. And I think rightfully so. I mean, you look at what Rob Smith was trying to do. Like,
it didn't work.
It didn't work. There's a reason you got fired. Like, here we are. And here we are in mid to late January, and Rob Smith still doesn't have a job. Now, I do know that the domino effect that he's waiting for is Greg Schiano is no longer the DC. Your guy, Greg Schiano, is no longer the DC at Ohio State.
Sounds like
the Patriots are going to be losing their defensive coordinator to the Miami Dolphins. Sounds like Greg Schiano would then be one of the front runners for that DC job. And I think we were just a year early on that because last year at this time, Greg Schiano was rumored to be the next defensive coordinator for the Patriots. Didn't end up happening. And last time we went through this a year ago, Rob Smith was going to be the linebacker coach there. So I'm assuming Rob's going to land on his feet out there with Schiano. But from what losing to firing one coordinator to in back-to-back seasons as well, Luke, you have other teams trying to poach Minnesota's offensive coordinator.
Ah, yes. So Kirk Shiraka, I think, you know, rumors being all over the internet and all over the Twitter machine was that he was destined for West Virginia. Alas, that doesn't seem to be so. As I look at gophersports.com at this moment, he is still your offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. So kind of what happened there, Ryan?
Yeah, he's going to be the offensive coordinator for the 2019 season. So to even go back in the time machine a little bit further, this time last year, so January of 2018, Minnesota has a dreadful season offensively. They don't have a lot of skill position players. The quarterback position is an absolute dumpster fire. And Kirk Shiraka was actually offered, per sources anyway, the Auburn offensive coordinator job under Gus Malzahn. Sounds like Gus Malzahn wanted him a lot, but Kirk was dead set on coming back to Minnesota. And then here in this offseason, he was, you know, rumored to have taken the job at West Virginia. And some folks are like, wait a minute, why? That's a lateral move. What a terrible look for PJ. There's a lot of nuances behind the scenes, folks. And it's the human factor of all this, where Kirk Shiraka is from Southeast Pennsylvania, from West Virginia University to his hometown would have been 3.5 hours. His wife is from Pennsylvania. His daughter goes to Rutgers. His son is going to go to Monmouth out in New Jersey. All their family is from the East Coast. Plus, Kirk Shiraka worked with Neil Brown, who is now the West Virginia head coach. They had a mentor-mentee relationship, per sources. And, you know, it came down to a few different factors from what I've heard. But knowing that he would, and Kirk Shiraka, Minnesota's offensive coordinator, this would be coming back to arguably his best offense in the 3 years going into his third year here, played a huge role in it. Now, I know some of you are thinking, well, money also played a point into it. I mean, yes, money played a point into it as well. West Virginia couldn't offer what Minnesota was currently paying him. That is accurate. But again, to these guys, what's $550,000 to $700,000? I don't think that Shiraka parlayed this into some huge raise here at Minnesota, but I guess we'll find out when the contract comes out here in a couple weeks. But again, it's the whole human factor. Kirk's from the East Coast. To have the opportunity to go back closer to home, closer to work. He's got two kids in college on the East Coast. You know, from what I've heard, he really likes Minnesota, and so does his wife. It's just for the 2019 season, Shiraka will be here, but I don't exactly know how much longer after that he is going to continue to be the offensive coordinator here at Minnesota. But for now, we've had an offensive coordinator turn down an SEC OC job, a Big 12 OC job, and I can't say the same about previous regimes.
Yeah, that's definitely the truth. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the defensive turnover. You know, we already mentioned that, basically since PJ Fleck's been here, his entire staff has turned over. Joe Rossi, who was a one-time, I don't know if he had a quality job or whatever, has been promoted all the way to defensive coordinator, going to coach the linebackers, had quite a turnaround of this defense in the 2018 season to get them bowl eligible. And then, obviously upset Wisconsin, go in and win a bowl game, et cetera. I don't think anybody is surprised that he won that job. And rightfully so. I'll give him credit. I was not huge on the idea of hiring him long term, but I think I've been kind of proven wrong at this point. I'm still a little bit leery to have both feet in the boat, but time will tell. Let's talk, Ryan, a little bit about some of these new guys that have joined up on the defensive side of the ball. I'm looking at, again, at Gopher Sports, Rod Chance being the latest one. What do we know about Rod Chance, who's going to coach the corners?
Yeah, so Jamiah Ladai ends up taking off for West Virginia. So, you know, kind of full circle for West Virginia. They thought they were getting one Minnesota coach, and they end up getting a different one. For those of you who, again, well, this is a lateral move. Why did he do it? He must really not like PJ. Jamiah Ladai played at West Virginia. I know from interviewing him back in May, he's got a big affinity for West Virginia and what they were able to do for him and his personal life and, you know, finding a wife, different things like that. So when he heard he had the opportunity to return to his alma mater, that was a big deal. That was a very big deal to him. So now he's going to be the cornerback coach out there at West Virginia, his alma mater. Best of luck to him. But replacing him are going to be two different guys, one being Rod Chance. Rod Chance is an interesting story. Just, I know there were some people that were very leery that with his last assistant coach, well, we got to keep that Georgia pipeline going. Who's going to recruit Florida? For those of you who don't know the backstory on Rod Chance, coming out, his first coaching gig was actually coaching at a high school in Georgia. He is originally from Florida. He played at St. Thomas Aquinas. Why does that sound familiar? It's one of the best high schools in the state of Florida, arguably one of the best in the country. So if you're looking for an interesting tie-in there, there's your tie-in. He also coached at Alpharetta High School in Georgia. Why does that sound familiar to you? Well, Minnesota's got a running back on their roster from Alpharetta, Georgia, that being Nolan Edmonds. So he's got the high school connections in both Georgia and in Florida. How did he get into the coaching game of the college scene? Well, he went and coached at his alma mater after he got done. That was out at Rhode Island. I mean, any chance, Luke, you always tell me, when you have an opportunity to go to Rhode Island to coach, you have to take it. You absolutely have to take it. So after he coaches there for a little while, he goes to Vanderbilt. You know, it's an SEC school. He's a defensive quality control guy for 4 years, kind of learning the nuances behind the scenes. What does it take? How do you develop a game plan? Looking at different things like that. From there, he goes to the FCS powerhouse that is Southern Utah. Now, Luke, you're an elite FCS mind. You were the one to alert me that when Southern Utah won the Big Sky back in 2017, just 2 years ago now, he was the defensive coordinator. Okay. And his defense had 55 pass breakups, 15 interceptions, had an ungodly amount of tackles for loss as well. He was the defensive coordinator there for a couple of years. And then last year when who's the Oregon head coach? Cristobal got the gig full time out at Oregon. Apparently there's some connection there. He goes out to Oregon for a year and is a defensive analyst there. I think from what I've been told, you know, Mario kind of promised him a job after a year there. Sounds like they didn't have the staff turnover they thought. Minnesota made a call. And now here Rod Chance is coaching quarterbacks. Well, not only does Minnesota have a cornerback coach, they also have a new defensive back / safety coach.
Yeah, I got a question about that, actually, real quick, before we get into who that is.
Sure.
How do you have a cornerbacks coach and then a defensive back safeties coach? How does that even work?
Well, it's funny you literally asked that question verbatim, because someone asked that to me on the Twitter machine, and unprompted, Jerry Gibson, former Golden Gopher football player, chimed in saying, they are much different positions, just like we had a defensive ends coach and a defensive line coach. Like Marcus West and what Joe Rossi were doing were much, much different things with these two different positions. So, you know, what a safety has to learn compared to what a cornerback has to learn are different things. And the fact that Minnesota can specialize in those in terms of, you know, Rod can work with the cornerback specifically, Joe Harris-Simiak can work with the safeties, and maybe if there's a guy they're trying to do a hybrid role with potentially a Chris Williamson type, a Antoine Winfield type, that'll go into Harris-Simiak's kind of range of things. So
got it.
Minnesota, I think, really wanted to address the secondary. They know that it hasn't performed as well as it had been, especially under previous regimes, and so that's why I think you saw them dedicate two different guys to this position.
All right, and so Harris-Simiak, I mean, his background is, he was like FCS Coach of the Year, wasn't he, this year? As a head coach, right?
Mm-hmm. So the connection here is, how does the University of Maine's head coach come to Minnesota? Multitude of different factors, the biggest one being Harris-Simiak worked with Joe Rossi at Maine. When Rossi was there from 2007 to 2011, Joe Harris-Simiak was there from 2009 to 2011. So they worked together for 3 years there. They kind of got to know each other a little bit. And when Joe Rossi took the going from Maine to Rutgers, Harris-Simiak stayed. So he goes from being a defensive backs coach in 2011. Rossi leaves. He continues to coach defensive backs. Then he's promoted to D coordinator, does a little bit of stuff with the linebackers. And then finally, in 2015, he is elevated to the head coach. And I believe at the time he was the youngest head coach in college football. He was like 28 years old. And for a 26-year-old saying that, being the head coach 2 years into the future would absolutely be terrifying to me. But I'm not Joe Harris-Simiak. Now, why he was the FCS coach of the year? Number one, he's at the freaking University of Maine. And what I mean by that is the recruiting base is very, very select. Can you imagine trying to recruit people from Texas, Georgia, Florida, California, Alabama and say, hey, yeah, we can offer you a full scholarship, but you got to come up to Maine? I would imagine that'd be a pretty, pretty tough sell. So the first couple of years, he's kind of 500-ish, but this year, his third year as the head coach, He guides the Black Bears of Maine to their best record to an FCS semifinal, which is unheard of. Again, a 10-4 overall record, a CAA conference championship, Maine's first national semifinal appearance. And why this is important is Maine didn't get there on their offense. Maine got there in their defense. You look at what their defense was able to do this year, you're able to get to the Final Four of the FCS for a reason. They were top 20 in overall total defense. They were top 10. I believe they were the number 9 team in the country in terms of getting off the field on third down. And the other thing I found very interesting when looking at Joe Harris Simiak's defense out there, he had 117 tackles for loss this year.
What?
He had five different guys with 10-plus tackles for loss. That's absurd. That means you don't have just one star player doing it, you know, a couple guys that are pretty good. If you have five different guys in the double-digit tackle for loss group, I think you're doing something right. So when Minnesota knew that P.J. Fleck knew that they had an open defensive spot, Joe Rossi knows Joe Harris-Simiak. And you also may be thinking, well, wouldn't that be a step down from Joe Harris-Simiak in terms of a salary point of view? Because everybody can be buddy-buddy, but at the end of the day, money talks. Joe Harris-Simiak was the lowest paid coach in the CAA. I believe he was only making $150,000 a year. We're at Minnesota. I would imagine he's probably in that 250 to 300 range. So if you could double your salary, get out of Maine. And I mean, for a guy who is as outdoorsy as I am, living in Maine versus living in the Twin Cities is a little bit different to me. So Minnesota is able to get a guy who has success out at the FCS level. He's still a young guy. I believe he's only 31, 32, has a lot to prove in terms of what he wants to prove. And come work for a guy like PJ Fleck. You've already worked for Joe Rossi, so there's continuity there. Makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, definitely. Let's talk a little bit of the defensive line, the new defensive line coach. I don't even know how to pronounce his last name. It's Jim Panagos. Yep. Wow, I think I got that. And you did tell me that earlier, and I totally forgot. So he's replacing, I believe, Marcus West, who is, from my perception, pretty successful in the recruiting trail. How is Panagos going to do replacing Marcus West?
I had a couple of people reach out to me about Marcus West and saying, why is he going to Charlotte of all places? Now, you also may be wondering, why is Minnesota's defensive line coach going from coaching the D-line in the Big Ten to, I don't even know, is Charlotte in the Sun Belt?
I don't know. I'll look that up while you're chatting.
Okay. So he's going back to Charlotte. And why I say back to Charlotte, he's going back to the head coach that he knows in Mr. Healy. Someone that he came up with at Chattanooga, someone that he found a lot of success with at Austin Peay. These guys have worked together, I believe, 8 of the last 10 years. They know how they operate. The head coach at Austin Peay, this Healy character, got the coach at Charlotte, offered the job back to Marcus West, saying, hey, you want to become my defensive coordinator out here, see what we can do? He accepted it. Sounds like he's able to get closer to home. Sounds like he and his wife have more family connections out there compared to Minnesota, obviously. Again, I'm not hearing these guys are leaving because there's this huge feud between him and PJ Fleck or anything like that. No, I haven't heard anything about that. But the thing that some college coaches raised to me is, why would you go from the Big Ten to arguably like the 7th best team in North Carolina? Because you have North Carolina, North Carolina State, Duke, Wake Forest, App State. And I think there's one more I'm forgetting about. So the recruiting base, yes, you're still a D1 team. You're still an FBS team. But how is that recruiting base going to go compared to you're not even the top 5 in your own state? So it's going to be an interesting deal for Marcus West, and I wish him nothing but the best. Again, he played a huge part in Minnesota's defensive line class and getting one of the best defensive line classes on paper in the internet era. I mean, you're going to get to see a few of these guys come spring ball with Rashad Chaney and Keontae Shad. But, you know, Luke, it's just a little bit strange to go from the Big Ten to, did you figure out what Charlotte is in?
Yeah, Charlotte's in Conference USA. So notable names from there would be like Middle Tennessee State, Southern Mississippi. I don't know.
So even still, it's just a weird kind of weird kind of move. But again, if that's what makes him happy, more power to him. So who does Minnesota have to replace him? Well, a guy with more than 25 years of coaching experience in Jim Panagos. If you've heard the name before, you think you have. Well, two reasons. Number one, he's worked with Joe Rossi when he was at Rutgers. They worked together from 2012 to 2015. And he also worked with the Minnesota Vikings from 2002 to 2005. He was a quality control assistant. He was also a defensive line coach in 2005. And so where Panagos kind of makes his hay is on this defensive line. He coached the D-line at Central Florida for 5 years. He was named Football Scoop's National Defensive Line Coach of the Year in 2009, helping them kind of come up the ladder before UCF was the UCF that you know in terms of today. He made a stop at Pitt for a while, Rutgers with Rossi. But now, of late, he's been in Temple. And in 2017, this isn't a media award. I believe this is voted upon by the coaches. He was nominated for the Broyles Award. The Broyles Award, nation's top assistant coach in 2017, being the defensive coordinator for the Temple Owls. And he had a huge part on the defensive line, a defensive line that had 39 sacks and 92 tackles for loss. So this past year, he was the assistant head coach to Temple. And when Temple's head coach got the gig at Georgia Tech, he followed him down there. Well, not only does Minnesota have to lay a schlacking to Georgia Tech in Detroit, they then go and take arguably their best assistant coach from that staff. You're looking at a guy that has familiarity with Rossi. PJ Fleck has familiarity with that. But I think the interesting thing to kind of note here is as Joe Rossi builds his defensive staff, you look at two of the three guys, well, these guys he's worked with in the past, one earlier in his career at Maine, one a little bit in the middle of his career at Rutgers. As far as I know, I don't know a huge connection between Rod Chance and Joe Rossi, but what do you think about Joe Rossi trying to get the gang back together with guys he's already familiar with? I mean, it's not who you know, or excuse me, it's not what you know, it's who you know that.
Right.
But it's certainly interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is interesting. You know, it doesn't make me feel particularly well. I know Rossi hasn't had a ton of success at previous stops, you know, after he assumes the role as defensive coordinator. I have optimistic hope for him, though, given the fact that, you know, what we saw in a small sample size here at Minnesota, you know, he was able to turn around a defense pretty quickly, and he was willing to, you know, put players in a position to succeed, something to meet their strengths rather than, you know, having them fit to a scheme that they may not be comfortable with or taking on roles that they may not be comfortable with. So I don't know. I am still cautiously skeptical of Joe Rossi, and I will be until I'm proven otherwise.
Well, I mean, that's one.
I get it.
Well, that's one side of the fence.
I got a lot of flack from people at the signing social, the GLC signing social, for that take. And like, I don't know. There's more statistical outliers probably, but like thus far his.
So you're leaning more towards that the last four games here against three completely different offenses, more flash in the pan rather than something that's sustainable over the course of a 12 game or 13 game sample of which Minnesota will have in 2019.
Yeah. I mean, he had some success early at the places he's been, and then it seemed to kind of fall off a little bit afterwards. I'll have to look it back up again. You know, maybe you guys can hammer me on Twitter or GI, but just saying, I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm pretty cautiously. Now on Rob Smith, I was pretty much not in the boat. I tried to be cautiously optimistic, but the second they hired him, I was pretty much out.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's, you know, for me, I mean, I don't think that Joe Rossi is going to be able to be as dominant, or his defense was going to have to be, you know, as dominant as it was in their three wins. But I just think it's interesting that you look at Minnesota's final three wins of the year, Purdue, Wisconsin, and Georgia Tech. You can't really game plan against three more different offenses from a spread.
Correct.
To a power, to a triple option, and to be able to shut down all three of them the way that they were. I certainly think it's interesting, especially on the short amount of time that he was able to do it.
Yeah.
Now, do I want to see that can he sustain that kind of success consistently week to week, and Minnesota can't have these blow up games that Rob Smith was certainly susceptible to against people like Maryland and Illinois, not exactly the class of the Big Ten, but you know, I feel more optimistic about Joe Rossi than I did Rob Smith.
Oh, I'm definitely in that boat too. I definitely buy into Rossi more than Rob Smith. But you know, I guess the time will tell ultimately, but, It will be interesting to follow, especially going into this year where teams have a chance to game plan against him. You know, there's film of him, et cetera. Yeah, it'll be interesting. You know, we probably should talk some offense eventually, but before that, let's talk a little bit about transfers. You know, with the semester concluding and then starting again tomorrow, there have been a number of transfers in and out of the program. This is the nature of college football. It's becoming more and more like college basketball, where transferring is kind of the norm, especially at the grad transfer level. But also guys just looking for a better fit and opportunity, and quite frankly, I don't blame them. So what can you tell us a little bit about the transfer market, at least guys leaving the program?
I'll say the transfer portal has made things so much more interesting, especially from a media perspective.
Well, you should explain what the transfer portal is for people that don't know real quick.
So I'm sure people have seen either on your Facebook machine, your Google machine, your Twitter machine, or on Gopher Illustrated, people keep talking about this transfer portal. No, this isn't some portal to another dimension. Well, actually, it kind of essentially is. So if you are a student athlete and you want to potentially see what your options are, in terms of other schools, say you're not getting a lot of playing time, you're unhappy with the staff. Well, instead of, you know, you posting your clearance thing from the NCAA and the compliance department, you can put your name into this transfer portal, of which schools like Minnesota check every day to see who is, you know, once your name is in this transfer portal, teams can reach out and contact you legally. So you've seen some high profile ones like Justin Fields going from Georgia to Ohio State. And then Tate Martell from Ohio State, now going to Miami. Once your name appears in this transfer portal, these schools can contact you. Now, you can stay at your school, but I can assure you if your name pops up in that transfer portal and you're a scholarship guy and you choose to come back, life is probably going to be a little bit more difficult for you.
Yeah.
So it's a risk you got to take, but again, everybody's got to look out for everybody. So you look at some of the transfers that Minnesota's had since the season ended or just since from the 2018 roster. Guys, I'm not expecting back scholarship-wise on the 2019 one. Running back from East Ridge, Dominic London, was here for 2 years, didn't play. He is going to go off to North Dakota. He's going to go be in the Big Sky up there, join up with former Golden Gopher running back James Johannesson. So it appears that UND is becoming Minnesota U for running backs, which is an interesting kind of thing to go. I don't know that this one is necessarily out there yet, but I guess we'll talk about it. Sources have kind of told me that Jonathan Femi-Cole, the guy who everybody thought was going to be Adrian Peterson because he looked like Adrian Peterson, he played on sparingly on some third down work, kind of was a pass blocker. He is going to grad transfer, and he is going to go to Ball State. It's a place where they have told him he can get playing time as a senior. I've even heard that they want him to be like a 20-touch guy a game. I know. I don't know that is necessarily what I would do, but I don't really know what Ball State's predicament is right now at running back. So it's a little bit interesting there. Then you look at on the offensive line, one guy that is going to grad transfer out is Quinn Osland. Someone I know that Matt Limegrover was immensely high on at the time. Quinn never really found his stride here at Minnesota, didn't play in a whole lot of games. So you have Quinn Osland. He's going to grad transfer to San Jose State. Now, Luke, if you had the opportunity to go for a semester to California and they'll pay for your education, can you blame him?
No, I mean, like, I don't blame him. I wouldn't go to San Jose, but that's fine. I mean,
at least it's California.
It is California. And some of the coldest winters or coldest summers in the country, but, you know, whatever.
All right. And then we also have Bronson Jovich, one that went to Chaska coming out in 2014. He is just not going to pursue his fifth year, from what I've been told anyway. He walked on senior day, so you have two guys on the interior of the offensive line that are just choosing to go for not going to be Gophers as their fifth year. At defensive line, it gets very interesting with O.J. Smith declaring to the NFL.
It surprised me that he declared, but, you know, best of luck to him.
The guy who battled a serious concussion, you know, throughout this season, comes back, plays extremely well against Wisconsin. Again, was a big part of the reason Minnesota was able to shut down Wisconsin, clogging up things in the interior, not letting Jonathan Taylor really get going. He played very well there. But then he doesn't play in the bowl game because he suffered another concussion. Like, you had a 6-week concussion.
Yeah.
You get cleared, you come back, then you immediately get another one. Now you want to test it for the NFL. Instead of just retiring? I guess if you think you have the opportunity to go make money somewhere and you know you only got a number of limited things left, more power to you, yeah, I guess.
I mean, from my opinion, I think that's fine. Like, I think that, you know, you have a finite amount of chance to play in the NFL. Why risk it, go to college and, you know, potentially, you know, get another concussion there? I mean, if you're going to take the concussion chance, why not try and get, you know, get paid in some fashion? I don't know if he finishes degree. But that said, I don't argue with the guy. I think it's probably the wisest decision for him. I don't know if tape wise he's going to be able to get a chance, but you know, if he can get on somebody's training camp roster and get paid for a little while.
Again, more power to him. It's just an interesting kind of turn that we'd heard OJ was going to retire and now he's going to enter the NFL draft. So best of luck to him. Two more final guys I believe that I've got written down here. Jerry Gibson, someone that played on Minnesota's defensive line rotation at times this year. He is not going to he's going to forego his fifth year here at Minnesota. He's not going to play. And then Ray Estes, Sunshine Ray for you, Mr. 1968. I know that he said he was going to Illinois. I know our Illinois guys talk with that Illinois staff and they're like, yeah, he's not a take, or at least he wasn't 3 weeks ago. So Ray Estes, the talent was always there. He just literally couldn't stay out of trouble off the field. I think he holds the record for the most amount of community service performed. So not only was he serving and giving, if he was ever to just able to kind of stay on the field, I think he would have been a player here at Minnesota, but you know, it just didn't work out here. So you have those guys leaving, but you also have two guys coming in, Luke.
Yeah, and this is an interesting thing. We talked a little bit about the portal. This is the closest college football has ever come to having kind of like a free agency period. Now, it's a very limited window in terms of free agency, but when you get a chance to get transfers and grad transfers, especially grad transfers that can play immediately, that's a big boost potentially to your program. It doesn't last for a long time. In some ways, I'm a little surprised that, you know, PJ has been, you know, committed to building a culture and, you know, flash in the pan guys don't seem to fit that. You know, he hasn't really gone the JUCO route a lot. Has said he's always wanted to go to the high school route, et cetera. But, you know, getting especially opportunities to get a transfer, a grad transfer where you can add depth has to be a take at this point for this Gopher staff.
I think we talked about in the last podcast that PJ on signing day talked about it unsolicited three different times about how the transfer portal is kind of being this free agent market. So you look at what Minnesota, they had some open spots and they wanted to go out and see what the transfer market had. So they're able to get two guys, one of them being Notre Dame graduate transfer defensive tackle Micah Du Treadway. Now you look at who is going to replace O.J. Smith. Well, there's a reason that Minnesota went after a 6'4", 300-pound defensive lineman who appeared in 20 games the last 2 years for the Fighting Irish, a team that was in the National Football Playoff. Yeah. Now, was he a huge contributor on that team? No. That's why he wanted to grad transfer. That's why he wanted to seek his opportunities elsewhere. Minnesota needed someone that could come in potentially in January, of which he is here. I just see a tweet here from Garrett Chernoff saying that, you know, they had an orientation for the early enrollees. I can see Micah Du Treadway right there. So someone that's 6'4", 300-plus pounds, kind of fills that one technique role where you can eat double teams, you can eat space on Minnesota's defensive line. Plus, it turns out that even before Du Treadway knew he was coming to Minnesota, his parents were moving up to Minneapolis for work.
So, no way. What are the odds?
It's just kind of the way it works. So the other connection here is Du Treadway played with Julian and Jacob Huff in high school at Bolingbrook High School in Illinois. They graduated at the same time. He went to Illinois. Jacob and Julian came to Minnesota. Du Treadway has got another year of eligibility, and he's going to come to the University of Minnesota. So you're looking at who is your space-eating defensive tackle for 2019. I think Du Treadway is going to figure into that rotation at the one tech. And then the other one should remind you, Luke, I'm going to describe Randall Grimes here, and I want you to tell me who he sounds like on the Minnesota roster.
On the Minnesota, Golden Gopher roster. Okay.
Yes. So okay. Randall Grimes out of high school, he comes from Desert Pines, one of the favorite high schools of this Minnesota staff. Cam Wiley is out of there in this 2019 class. Jordan Howden came out of the 2018 class. Well, Randall Grimes graduated out of Desert Pines in 2017. So you look at this Minnesota roster, they got three different guys, three different classes from Desert Pines High School. So he was very highly recruited coming out of high school. He played quarterback. He played free safety at Desert Pines. He goes to USC for 2 years. He plays in, I believe, three games as a true freshman, played three games last year before deciding that USC wasn't going to be for him. And he put his name into the transfer portal and decided to transfer. Now, the interesting part about it was Randall Grimes was almost here in December. He was one of the names that Minnesota was pursuing as a transfer, and they almost had him official visit back in mid-December. Now, things kind of fell through. Minnesota wanted to see some other options. But anytime PJ Fleck has the opportunity to work with a guy as physically skilled as what Randall Grimes is, at 6'4", 205 pounds, freaky long arms, very explosive, he's going to have a chance to do that. Now, what you're going to ask me is, well, why did he decide to transfer from USC? From talking with our USC people, sounds like he was behind a couple of guys in the depth chart. He and his current staff didn't really get along. There wasn't really anything academic related. He just wanted a fresh start. So Minnesota is able to give him that fresh start. I don't believe Randall Grimes is going to be here until June. He's going to have to sit out a year anyway. But he's a kid who is still very raw at the wide receiver position, considering he played quarterback and free safety in high school. I know our USC guys thought he had the ability to do it. He just needs more time to be refined. So as you look at Minnesota trying to replace Tyler Johnson potentially going forward, a kid who's 6'4", has all the athletic talent in the world, and he gets an extra year to work with PJ Fleck and Matt Simon, I think that sounds very interesting. So, Luke, after that kind of description, who does Randall Grimes sound like on the Gopher roster?
I'd maybe go with a skinnier version of Seth Green.
I'm so proud of you right now.
Thank you.
That was exactly what I was hoping for. Yeah, Seth's got is, you know, 240-ish now, considering his role as Wildcat quarterback, but sounds a lot like Seth Green to me. Now, Seth Green's still got a ways to go to be refined as a pass catcher, but Minnesota wants to take a chance and think that they can develop Randall Grimes into something that USC couldn't. So those are the two kind of transfers to know coming into Minnesota.
All right, so let's chat a little bit about the offense. Mostly, I think this stems from you and me basically G-chatting. You know, during the day we talk, you know, believe it or not, we actually talk, you know, about things
other than Gopher football. More than people know.
Yeah, more than people know. And we talk not only about Gopher football, but I think the majority of our conversations, you know, offline have been about the offense, and we've kind of had some consensus. And I think the first thing that I want to start with is, the concept of, you know, what is balance, right? A guy that I have, I like, and I know that a guy loosely affiliated with Gopher Illustrated also really likes is Mike Leach. And I really appreciate Mike Leach's opinions as it comes to balance. He doesn't think that balance is, you know, 50% run, 50% pass. He says, you know, you've got maybe 5-6 skill positions. True balance is when you can spread the ball out to those 5 or 6 skill position guys, you know, that may be on the field at one time, probably more like 4 or 5 at one time on the field. And that's the true definition of balance. And I ascribe to that. And you and I have chatted back and forth. And I think that's one of the areas we feel like this Gopher offense, if they're going to take the next step, they really have to improve in being able to spread the ball and distribute the ball equally to those skill players. Specifically, like if we look at, you know, some of the advanced metrics, Tyler Johnson in the past, Rodney Smith or Shannon Brooks got the bulk of the touches, and that really needs to change going forward.
I don't know that it necessarily needs to change.
It does. It needs to change.
You need to put the ball in your best playmaker's hands. And Tyler Johnson deciding to come back, Tyler Johnson is going to be a top 100 draft pick in 2019. Now, Rodney Smith and Shannon Brooks have put up a combined nearly 5,000 yards in their Golden Gopher careers. Look, like, I think what you're trying to tell me, and here would be my definition of balance for Minnesota's offense in 2019. You want to use... I guess I still think it's one of the funnier things about this Gopher fan base is they're obsessed with the tight end not getting the ball this year.
Yeah.
Like, Minnesota had tight ends on the field, like Cole Keith, Colton Beebe, Jake Paulson. but they were run blocking. Like Minnesota and Kirk Soraka didn't necessarily think, from what I've heard from sources, that the tight ends were had some of the best hands on the team and should have been utilized in the passing game. That's why you didn't see the tight ends use that much. Well, that's going to change next year because you get Brevin Spanford in. For those of you who don't know who Brevin Spanford is, he's from St. Cloud Tech High School here in Minnesota. He played wide receiver in high school. He's 6'7". He had D1 basketball offers. Anyone I talk to on the Minnesota staff about him are just through the roof about him. I mean, I've had guys that have still been on the staff since Max Williams around. They think that he has as high of a ceiling as Max Williams did. Now, I'm not saying that Brevin Spanford is going to be Max Williams and a top 60 NFL draft pick, even though that wouldn't surprise me. But you have a guy like Brevin Spanford who is going to be in a full complement of games in 2019. And that's someone that, from what I've been told, that Kirk Soraka is planning on utilizing as a tight end and in the passing game more specifically. Another guy would be Jake Paulson. I know that Minnesota also wants to get him more involved in the passing game as well. So as you kind of want to divvy up those targets, do I want Tyler Johnson to have like a 40% target share again or whatever it was? Probably not. But I still want him in like that 27 to 30 range, considering he's arguably the best receiver to come out of Minnesota since Eric Decker. And he's going to need, you know, he's going to need touches. But you also want to see like Kirk Soraka use the running backs. Now, you saw Minnesota use the running backs in the passing game when they had Rodney Smith, but then that changed when they had Mo Ibrahim. Why is that? Maybe Kirk Soraka and the offensive staff think that Mo Ibrahim catching the ball compared to Rodney Smith catching the ball is a little bit different. So again, you want to be able to kind of tailor this offense to what you have. And when you lose your two best running backs, now Mo Ibrahim stepped up in ways that this Gopher coaching staff couldn't imagine. And they kind of fitted the offense to what Mo Ibrahim does well. That's why you saw Minnesota do so much inside zone. But trying to find balance, Luke, I think the only things I would really change from this year is when you look at the passing game targets, you want to involve the running backs and the tight ends a little bit more. But I don't know. What do you think? I mean, I don't want Minnesota to be 50% run, 50% pass. I want Minnesota to do whatever the hell is that they do well, whether right. that's running the ball next year, whether that's passing the ball next year. Hopefully it's both. But in any given game, it's so different. Like, yeah, you want to be – you know what? No, you don't. You don't want to be 50-50. Because if you're killing them through the air,
right.
why the heck would you run the ball?
Right.
If you could get 6 yards on first down throwing a slant every time, why wouldn't you do that? Instead of maybe getting 3 or 4 in inside zone.
And from my perspective, I think that number one, it starts with you want to take what the defense gives them, right? And at Wisconsin, they did just that. They couldn't stop them running the ball, so they didn't run the ball, right? Or they didn't throw the ball. They just kept running it. Now, from that standpoint, sure, be one-dimensional. Maybe that's one back, whoever, whatever. But when it comes to throwing the ball, I think that's where I think they fixate a little bit too much on Tyler Johnson. I think that he is super talented, don't get me wrong, but sure. I would like to see them spread it out more. And I get the argument, and I think that's kind of the, you know, we've gone back and forth.
It's not like
this.
Kirk Soraka is literally telling his quarterbacks right. you have to throw it to Tyler Johnson.
Right.
Now, is Kirk Soraka scheming it to where Tyler Johnson is more times than not the first read?
Right.
And more times than not, he's open? Yes. But, yeah, you want to kind of diversify your offensive portfolio with who you're spreading the targets around to so that defenses can't week after week know that, you know, every team next year is going to know we got to take out Tyler Johnson, we got to take out the running backs.
Right.
Can Rashad Bateman get stronger in the weight room to be that legitimate Big Ten wide receiver that's going to fill into Tyler Johnson's shoes? I mean, there's question marks abound, but I'm with you. I mean, I don't subscribe to the 50% run, 50% pass. I know that some people may be upset by that, but it's
yeah.
why don't you just tailor make your game plan and adjust on the fly in game? You know, maybe in the first quarter, as you're still on script and you're still trying to figure out what the defense is doing, if you're having success with one thing and you continue to have success to that going into halftime, then absolutely. You know, if running the ball is the way to go, you look at for a multitude of different reasons. Why Minnesota threw the ball 18 times or less in 3 of their last 4 games, and each one of those games they won. Well, if you're up 10-plus points and they can't stop you running the ball, number one, you're in a positive game script. What does that mean? You're up 10 plus points. You don't want the clock to stop because ultimately the clock's your enemy. And if you can get first downs on the ground at time after time after time and you drain the clock, well, why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah.
So you look at the way Minnesota was able to do that to Purdue, Wisconsin, and Georgia Tech. That's why Minnesota didn't throw the ball more.
Right. Yeah. And you know, to my point, I think that as much as they improved in the passing game, which has been great, I think that there's a lot of room still yet to improve, right? They're going to have experience, an experience Rashad Bateman, experience Chris Ottman-Bell. And I think that Demetrius Douglas, you know, only having 9 receptions on the year, he's going to grow significantly in potentially his role. Then, you know, getting both Brooks and Rodney Smith back is going to pay dividends in the pass game. I just want to see them spread the ball out more. I'd like to see, right now they've got, let's see, Ottman-Bell had just shy of 500 yards. Bateman had about 700 yards and Tyler Johnson was close to 1200. I'd like to see that evened out a little bit more, and I don't have target numbers up in front of me, so I apologize. I didn't do my homework. But I do want to see the target distribution. That's the main thing that I'd like to see get spread out more, is that target distribution. Cause I think that they've got the weapons, and I don't think anybody is denying that. And, you know, talking to you, I think that they recruited some guys that they're pretty high on, right? Like, I really do think that there potentially could be a player or two that could come in and even supplement that passing game. And remind me of the gentleman's name that was injured this year that was a wide receiver they're high on too. Mans.
Jornell Mans. Yeah. I mean, someone they thought that was going to be a big time contributor, but you know, he tore his knee again. But I mean, I think the point you're trying to make is yes. I mean, would I love to see Rashad Bateman with an actual year in the weight room come back 10 pounds heavier, more stronger, so he can't get put off his line as he's trying to become Minnesota's deep threat? Absolutely. He deserves more targets. Minnesota's actually going to have a passing game target in the tight end named Brevin Span Ford. He deserves targets. I mean, would I love to see Minnesota pass the ball 25 to 30 times a game if that means they can win? Sure. Absolutely. It's just, I think it depends on how this Minnesota offense is going on any given week, because it's going to come down to the quarterback play, of which we can probably talk about.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing that we've talked about at length is quarterback.
And truth be told, Minnesota doesn't know who the heck their quarterback's going to be in 2019 just yet. Now they know some. You know, is there a guy that I've heard Minnesota's higher on than the other one right now? Yes. Am I going to tell you who that is? No, because that's on Gopher Illustrated for our members. And that is a fantastic time to remind me here, Luke, that as we kind of wind this thing up for today, Tuesday, January 22nd, you're going back to work in the morning as you're listening to this going into work, 9 months for the price of one on Gopher Illustrated from 9 a.m. Just for a few hours there. And then we're going to have a deal after that that goes till Friday. Again, if you want to know every kind of in-depth discussion that Luke and I get into here, we probably talk about it on Gopher Illustrated beforehand. We also get into a lot more in-depth recruiting things, recruiting stories, football stories, like, again, the Kirk Soraka deal. I talked about that a couple weeks ago on here. So if you at all are interested in Gopher athletics in terms of Gopher football, Gopher basketball, this is the best deal of the year. I don't think you're going to get 8 free months for $9.95. So you get 9 months of access for $10. That is $1 a month, where I think the best online message board community. So to learn more about it, check out my Twitter at RyanBirdsMN or check out GopherIllustrated.com.
All right. So we'll probably have to maybe try to find some time to chat again before spring practice.
I suppose.
There's a lot to cover with this team. I think that optimism's high. And going into spring practice should be pretty fun. A number of new players are coming on board. You know, in addition to the transfers, you've got a bunch of freshmen that are already on campus, which is incredible how many they've already got on campus. But it should be fun. So we want to thank everyone for listening again. If you enjoy the podcast, obviously, we would appreciate it if you would subscribe and or rate on iTunes or whatever podcasting aggregator that you use. It does really help us. Again, for myself and for Mr. Burns.
How many different podcasts and things are we on now? We're on Spotify. iTunes, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher. If you can find a podcast and you're just clicking on this link and listening on your desktop computer, like, just download the podcast, man. Find it on your on your Google Pixel, your Android, your Apple. Just find it on there. It's much, much easier, and it goes automatically to your phone. So for Luke, I'm Ryan Burns. We thank you guys for listening, and go Gophers.